Hey, comic creators, artists, writers, world builders, this is your call to action. Here at Talking Comics, we love diving into the stories behind the story. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in the game for years, we want to hear your journey, your creative process, and what fuels your imagination. So, ready to talk comics with us? Message us or hit the link in our bio and be a guest on Talking Comics.
Welcome to Talking Comics. Appreciate you joining me. Before we dive into your comics and your business and everything, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I mean, it's wild. I've been doing this 10 years and, you know, some people do know me, but it's crazy. You know, I do podcasts and cons and stuff, but it's weird to keep in mind that like the majority of people have no idea who I am. So when I do these, I'm always introducing myself. My name's Josh Melis. I run Cutthroat Comics and Publishing out of Findlay, Ohio. We've been going for 10 years. I've lost count of how many comics and books we put out, like 30 plus, something like that. I publish for other creators when I can. But it's mostly my stuff, but I like to publish for other people when I can, which is the ultimate goal, is to have a full-on publishing company with wheels turning when it's not just me doing everything. So,
right. So the authors you bring in, do they navigate Kickstarter or just through you and you help them market and publish, or how does that work?
So it's, you know, set up kind of like the way I understand Image works, because I don't own the IP. I just sell it. They retain the rights. You know, we've done Tales of Shock and Terror. I did another one back in the day, which we sold out of, and then we never re-upped the contract. So I have published for two creative teams. I hope to do more, like I said. Basically they own the IP. When they get the books, I get them for a discount because I order in bulk. So I sell them directly to my people for cost. I don't even make a dollar. I only make money off the ones that I sell. So,
okay.
Which I think is a pretty fair deal.
It's a very fair deal.
Profits with them. So it's 50-50 on the ones that just I sell. So, and they can buy them from me as many as they want and keep all the profits.
There you go. That's pretty good. What do you see? Because I'm writing my own comic right now and I'm working with a printer, but what do you see is the average cost of like printing, like a print run?
It depends on how many you order. I would plan on, with shipping and everything, $3 per book. That's what I would plan for. And if you can get it less than that, and then like the place I print through, they also, you get points and stuff when you order. So they give you discounts and all that kind of stuff. So that helps out. So like, for instance, when I publish for somebody, I will order more of my stuff at the same time and vice versa, because we get more and then for less.
More shipping.
Yeah.
More for less. Exactly. Memories. I ran a publishing company. I started a publishing company in 2007 and at one time had 20 authors and published over 50 books.
Nice.
And the biggest hurdle that I faced was the marketing.
Yeah, it's tough.
So how do you deal with that? How do you go about marketing the books for people?
Yeah, it's, I'm trying to be better about that. It's, as you know, it's hard to get through, you know, even when you have all the social medias and stuff, it's hard to get through all the barriers, so to speak, like, you know, Facebook and all that. They're only going to show so many people your stuff without you paying for it. So,
exactly.
I'm trying to be a little more relentless about it, I guess, and post more content. And like, I've never been one to like care about followers. Like, I'd love to have a million people giving a damn who I am, but I've never been one to like, hey guys, make sure you follow me, you know?
Right.
I've never been that rah-rah about that. I'm trying to be better about that because I understand.
You and me both.
Yeah. So, and it actually has been working out. My TikTok has been kind of skyrocketing a little bit recently.
Awesome.
Which is crazy. Like when you know, I check it in the mornings when I get up and it's like 38 notifications or whatever. It's like, geez, you know, so.
How many followers do you have on TikTok now?
Just crossed 920, I think.
Okay.
And literally like, I want to say just a couple weeks ago, I was at like low 800s. So it's.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what the difference is because I just hit over. Last week I hit 1,000 on TikTok and I'm like, okay.
It seems like the more you have, the easier it is to get more. It's kind of, which I guess makes sense.
Yeah, and I have up posting, like I'll post five days a week now, Monday through Friday. I don't really post on the weekends much, unless there's something cool that happens. But I schedule all my posts throughout the week. I had to do that because I was struggling trying to post to three platforms, you know, every day.
I think people don't understand. It takes time to just post. Like if I wanted to post something on everything that I have, it's going to take like 20 minutes at least. And that's not counting thinking about what you want to say and, you know, whatever it is you're posting. It's a job.
It takes time. It takes time. I've been using a scheduler now so I can sit there. So on Sundays, I'll sit there, you know, 3-4 hours and schedule everything for the week. And then I don't have to think about it all week.
There you go.
You know, it just does it. So,
yeah. I mean, for my day job, I drive around the state. So I have a lot of drive time where I can be like, oh, I need to post on the Facebook, you know, or whatever, and I'll switch. And it's super safe while I'm driving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we won't go into that. We do not condone that, but yeah, whatever.
Don't do that.
I do the same thing. Don't do that, kids. So how many have you written? How many comics and books, novels have you written?
I think like 31, I think, total. And that's in... you know, roughly 10 years. I started about 10. So my son is 10 and I started writing my first novel a month before he was born. So it's been 10 years. And it was just one of those things. I wrote a book and then I was like, well, I kind of want to do a comic. And then literally now I have a backlog of comics and novels that I want to write. I have like 6 things. And every time I finish one, then my brain is like, oh, room for more. Here's another idea. So it's like, it's almost kind of annoying because then it's like,
right,
I'm not going to get to it for like 3 years. Like,
now, on your website, it said you had a bunch of artists. Are you an artist as well? Are you drawing? Or are you hiring artists?
Yeah, I can't draw to save my life. So
me too.
That's I always tell people like at cons and stuff, if I could draw, I would be making money hand over fist at this just because of how fast I work and everything.
Right.
So that's definitely a little bit of a hold up that I have to wait for the artists to do all their stuff and everything. But, you know, it's really fun to work with different artists, obviously on the comics, not the novels so much. But to see, like, I've got one main guy that I work with, Cristiano Reyna out of Italy, and he kills it. He's gotten even better since we started. And he's fast and he's really good at his job, I think. And then I've worked with people from Marvel and DC and Image and all, you know, all the other, basically every other big publisher, I've worked with people from those places. So that's pretty cool too. You know, when you get to talk to people, you know, even like Mike DiCarlo is probably the biggest name that I've worked with. And, like he worked on Batman and Death in the Family, first Lobo, first He-Man, Powerpuff Girls. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So it's wild to almost work with your heroes kind of in a way.
Right. So I've started this whole, this has inspired me to write a comic. But like you, I can't draw worth anything. I'm a graphic designer. I can do graphic stuff pretty well, but I don't want to do all that for a comic. I want actual drawing. And I've interviewed a guy a few weeks ago and we've just kind of hit it off and, you know, been chatting back and forth, and he just drew some fan, kind of like fan art of like a potential cover. And I'm like, dude, just draw the whole book. Like, I'm going to pay you. He agreed. So I'm going to pay him, you know, so I'm excited. We kind of locked that in this week. So my goal is to have it out by May 31st. I noticed you were in Michigan. There's a convention at Memorial Day weekend. It's Traverse City, Michigan. So I've committed to that. And I can't remember the name of it.
Traverse City. I know which one you're talking about. Oh, is it? It's not Astronomicon. No, that's in February.
I need to text them and figure out what the actual name of the convention. So friends of mine work like for the convention and that live in that area. And they mentioned it and I'm like, give me a table. And they're like, done. You got one. And I'm like, okay. But I never even asked the name yet.
Yeah. I know what it is. I just can't think of it. Can't remember.
So I'm going to be there. That's my goal, is to have my comic done and released by then. So I've pretty much almost finished the script. He did his cover and he's starting to work on some of the pages. So I'm super excited about that. And the whole process is moving along.
One of the things I do when I publish for people is I edit for free as well. So
sweet.
If you're looking for a publisher, hit me up. We'll talk about
it. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, I'll definitely. Yeah,
heck
yeah.
Actually, I just finished editing, hopefully for the last time, Tales of Shock and Terror 2, which hopefully will be out soon. I edited that yesterday, I think.
Yeah, sweet. So what goes into that? We've never talked about editing on here.
Yeah.
So talk about editing comics.
It's, you know, I edit all my own stuff. I don't have an editor, which is, people would probably say it's a mistake, but I don't want people messing with my stuff. But I absolutely insist on editing anything I publish. I have to know what's going
100%.
On.
100%. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's more, I've been doing this for 10 years now, so I will help them with the stories and make sure the stories make sense. And then, of course, I look at all the dialogue and help them with their dialogue, you know, because it's dialogue's tough. I think most writers will tell you that's probably the toughest part, is making each character sound different and making what they say interesting. So I look at the dialogue and make sure it's not too generic, or make sure it fits the character. Like they had like a, I don't want to call it a double negative. I forget what the line was, but they had like a, don't where it shouldn't have been a doesn't, basically. Mm. And I was like, hey, this is a doctor. They're not going to say it that way, kind of thing. And then just little things like, hey, you know, you misspelled this word or whatever. But I try to help with the story, but I also let them know, like, this is your story. So it's going to have to be your voice, not mine. I don't want it to sound like me. I want it to sound like you. But here's my suggestions, usually.
That makes sense. What is the biggest challenges you've had in creating?
I mean, it's the reaching the audience, I think. It's and I do
marketing.
Yeah, I'm really, really good at Comic-Cons. Like, when it comes to being in front of somebody and selling them my work, there probably aren't too many people that are as good at it as I am, I think. Just because when I'm at a con, you know, I watch what everybody else is doing, kind of. And then I'll usually chat people up, you know, if we got a minute, how you doing? And a lot of times they're like, oh, not so good. And it's like, I'm doing really well. so it's a tricky thing. Like, it's a totally different animal. Online marketing, Kickstarter, and then being at a con in front of people are three very different talents, I think. My talent
pretty much so.
Being able to talk to people and sell my product face to face, online. My Kickstarters usually do fine. Like, I've never had one fail, but good. I've never had like a really, really big one. And it's kind of daunting because, I mean, if I did one that made like 10 grand, I would be like overwhelmed probably, but I would get it done. I'm a hard worker. But yeah, and then of course online marketing and making TikToks that are like interesting is kind of tricky when it comes to this stuff.
Very much so. You never know what's gonna like take off or do something too well. Like, I had one video do well just because I didn't understand what the picture was on the cover of a Thor comic.
It's up here. Oh yeah, there it is.
So I had this whole thing where I was like, explain what the heck this is. Like, it looks so out of place.
I remember.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you can add some shading to a boot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And when you showed it to me, it did look weird. And I think somebody stitched you and showed a different example, right? Yeah, yeah. I think I saw that too.
And so I went through all my old ones and I found several more examples. But then I found a lot of examples where he actually had shading on the boot.
Yeah, throw some blue on there.
So it's like, yeah, like this one even. You know,
there's some shading at least on the boot,
yep.
You know,
yep.
So throw some shade,
throw something, a couple lines, like, just looks so out of place. That big old guitar pick.
Yeah. Guitar pick. Somebody glued on it.
But yeah, but that one went like crazy. Got like 10,000 views or something. It was like ridiculous because somebody stitched it, I'm sure. But which was fun. But yeah, marketing is the hardest and I'm working on it. I think it's hard to crack that.
It is. It's difficult.
That thing. So you don't have any problems. What rituals do you have in writing? Do you have any rituals that you do?
Not really. You know, nothing where I like light a candle and say a prayer or anything. When I have a project going, it's every day though. Specifically with novels, comics, I write 2 pages a day. I could sit down on a Saturday and write an entire comic script. Like, that would be easy for me. But I try to slow it down so I can really think about it. And I write 2 pages a day until it's done. So it's like, what, 2 weeks roughly?
Mm-hmm.
I've got it down to a very specific method now, where I will write 400 words a day, which is not much. It's like 20 minutes. And then the next day I read what I wrote, fix it, make it better, and then add on to the end of it, almost like a little ladder kind of going down. So it just gets longer and longer. And every 10,000 words, I add 100 words. So 400, then 500, 600, you know, until I get towards the end. Usually, and it depends on the novel too. Like, usually by the middle, I have it all worked out in my head. Because some books I have like a good idea of like, this is where it's going. Some books I start writing, I have no idea how it's even going to end. So, and sometimes I know the beginning and the end, and then I have no idea what happens in the middle. So it's, you kind of work into it, I find.
Now, do you work on novels and comics at the same time?
Sometimes. Or? Yeah. It just kind of depends.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's like right now I'm forcing myself to take a break until I'm saying January 1st. I think I'm going to get restless and start early on the next novel, but right now, January 1st is like, that's when I'm going to start the next one. Cause I just finished, how many books have I even written this year? I've written like 3 this year, novel wise, I think. I can't remember. I'd have to look at my website. Yeah. Yeah. I think I wrote the Bro Code.
I know there's a lot on there.
Yeah. I think I wrote the Bro Code and then the Monster King and then A Christmas Conspiracy is out now as well. I wanted to get that one knocked out before the holiday season.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think all 3 of those this year, plus like 2 comics this past year, I think. I don't know. I lose count.
I mean, when you're doing that many, I'm worried about doing 1 24-page comic right now, you know, and I'm like 6 months to leave, you know, runway, 8 months of runway.
Yeah,
right now, you know, plenty of time to, mm-hmm. which is fine for this first one, but it is motivating me. I want to write a lot more, which scares me, but because I am not a writer. At all. It's, like, I'm a math person. I am not a writer, but now here I am writing comic books. It's crazy.
It's, I tell people it's like, it's a muscle, just like how, like people that do stand up and improv and all that, you know, you do it and you get good.
A podcast.
At it. Yeah.
The same thing. Like, yeah, this is episode, this is going to be like 42 or something like that.
No.
You know,
you practice or you get better.
Number one was not like this, you know, so. It's crazy. And I go back like yesterday. I spent, you know, 4 hours. I'm changing my thumbnails, you know, just updating the artwork and everything's just progressively getting better, you know, which I love.
And it's one of those things too, for me, like literally every day when I sit down to write, I get just the tiniest bit of anxiety that I won't be able to write anything. But in 10 years, that has literally never happened. I've had writer's block for maybe like 90 seconds at the most in 10 years and on 30 some odd books or whatever it's been. Like,
so how'd you get started writing? Like, what was the inspiration behind it all?
I had always wanted to write a book, and I was in a band and we broke up, and then I was like, I gotta do something. You know, I can't just sit on my hands and do nothing. So I did like this movie review webpage for, I don't know, like a year. So that kind of got me in. That was, and I did that, one, I wanted to do it, and two, like, I wanted to practice writing. So I was writing reviews almost every day about, probably. And eventually I was like, this is not creative. And I don't remember when it hit me, but one day I had the idea for my first novel, Stuffed Squirrels and Porcelain Angels. And I was like, all right, I'm going to sit down and see if I can bang this out. And I wrote the first chapter. And I showed it to a couple of people and they're like, oh, this is pretty good. And then 10 months later, my first novel took me 10 months, which I think is the longest a novel has taken me. Most of them take 3 or 4 months. But yeah, I mean, once I did that one, and then, like I said, the door was open and the ideas haven't stopped since.
Pretty cool. What do you want readers to feel when they read your stuff? What do you want to take away from?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the thing. So, you know, a lot of artists and writers will have like a genre, you know, like horror or sci-fi or whatever. I write whatever the hell I want. When you own the company, like, every idea I have is greenlit. I'm like, that's a good idea. We're going to make that. So, you know, and I've written like Stuffed Squirrels and Porcelain Angels is a dark comedy about suicide. And there's a follow-up to it as well. Hellscape is like a dream thing with lots of genres in it. It goes from romance to horror, to fantasy, to post-apocalyptic sci-fi kind of thing. So that one, and that's a trilogy. So that one has all kinds of stuff in it. Then you have like the Monster King, which is an all ages kind of fantasy thing like Labyrinth. And I've written, trying to remember what all I've written. Like, yeah. So, I mean, it just depends on what I'm working on, how I want people to feel. Like Hellscape is very like thinky. Like I want people to be thinking and being like, oh, it's interesting and all that, like hyper creative. But where Stuffed Squirrels and the Bro Code are like comedies, kind of. So, I want people to laugh. I mean, there's some heart and stuff in it as well, but mostly I just hope people laugh. Cocaine Stripper Stronghold, that's just like a raunchy, yeah, super comedy. Like, there's nothing in that. There's no heart in that one at all. It's just balls to the walls, like, ridiculous comedy. Raunchy. Oh, like,
I like that. That's pretty funny.
So what, like, do you have any dream collaborators that you'd want to work with? You've already mentioned you've worked with some Marvel DC people.
Yeah.
Image.
Yeah. I mean, my number one would be to work with Eastman on either something Turtles or something that I'm doing. That's my, and I've met him once and I told him that. So we'll see, fingers crossed. I'm sure he remembers exactly who I am too.
Well, yeah, yeah. He's got it written down in his little book, I'm sure.
That would be number one. You know, it's funny. I see writers and stuff from time to time. They'll be like, oh, I'd love to work on this or that, you know, and I would, but I enjoy writing my own things. I mean, I'm not going to lie. If like somebody from Marvel called me up and be like, come up with a pitch, I'd be like, I will do that. I'll gladly. And I would even create a character just so I could say I have a Marvel character. They can have it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You could work. Yeah. That would be worth it.
Just let me sell some t-shirts.
Yeah.
Yep. Or something. But, you know, yeah.
Turtles would be my number one. Like if, and I actually do have, I don't have Turtles ideas, even though I could probably cut. I think I did have one once because I spent like 10 minutes thinking like, well, what if they did ask me, what would I say? And I came up with like something, I don't even remember what it was, but I do have like in my phone, I keep notes upon notes upon notes of everything. And I have several IPs that I do want to try to get at some point. And I'm almost there. I'm hoping like maybe mid next year, I'm going to start trying a couple of those, but I'm not going to say them out loud because there have been a few that were in my notes that got made. And I was just like, oh, I missed it. Like Twisted Metal, I wanted to do a Twisted Metal thing. I think I had some notes for an Artful Dodger from Oliver. And then they made like a show about him or something. I don't know if it was good or not. I just know they made it. I feel like there was like one more thing that I was like, oh my God, I wanted to do that. So
are you going to try to, you're going to reach out to these people and try to.
At some point, yes.
Do something?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That would be pretty neat.
These lips are
smooth. I never thought about that.
I'm not telling nobody.
No. You want to keep that under wraps. Yep. That was like the turtle thing. The Cowboys of Moo Mesa or whatever. Yep. That's coming out this week.
Yep, number one.
As a comic. And I'm like looking at it. I'm like, I remember this. Like, I had these toys when I was a kid. It was crazy.
It was pretty cool. I liked it.
Yeah, so I had to pick that as my pick of the week. That was pretty funny.
Nice.
So what advice would you give creators that are starting out like myself and others that want to write or draw or,
you know, I get asked this all the time at cons because literally every con, there's at least 1 to 5 people that are like, I want to write a comic book. What should I do? And first I always tell them, feel free to reach out at any point. I will answer any question like that anybody asked me to the best of my ability. Cause I didn't, when I jumped in feet first. And that's one of my things. I just tell them, jump in, just jump in. But I didn't know anybody in the industry. And I, you know, to answer my questions, like I Googled and stuff. So, but I didn't have like, you know, I didn't know any writers or artists or anything. Now I know freaking tons of them. So that's one, just jump in, you know, and if you meet somebody, feel free to ask them questions. But the main thing, and this goes for whether you're in a band or you're a drawing artist or whatever it is you're doing creatively, I would say you better get thick skin and you better get it quick, because you're going to get told no a million times and people are not going to give a damn what you're doing, unfortunately. The comic industry, probably much like the music industry and everything. Like I said, I was in a band for a while, but people come and they go. And it's only when you're around a while, like for me specifically, have I noticed that people are like, oh, you know, like they give a damn who I am kind of and ask me things and talk to me. A lot of people, I've seen comic people come and go, you know, and I'm not really like that. Like I won't ignore them. I'm always nice and stuff, but sometimes I see people, I'm like, you're not going to be here next year, you know? And some people are, and that's awesome. So it's one of those things, you know, get thick skin, because not that people don't care, but probably most people think you probably won't be around for a while. And it's on you to decide how much you want it and what you want from it. And once you decide that, then you can figure out where to go.
No, that's great advice. Nobody, you know, not everybody's going to love what you do, but there's going to be a lot of people that do. And you just got to, you know, keep going and have that self-motivation to do those kind of things. So all your stuff's available on your website, right?
Yes. Comics generally are just physical right now. I haven't quite figured out what I want to do about digital. That's another place I lack, because I really don't push digital much. I really sell very, very little digital. I need to try to promote that stuff more.
Yeah, I've been torn on that too, because a lot of people I've talked to, they sell a lot of digital, you know, or I don't personally like reading digital, digitally.
I don't.
I mean, I do it for the podcast because, you know, people send me their stuff digitally and I'll read it and, you know, it's fine. But I prefer to have, you know, the comic books in my hand.
I am the same way. I still have all my CDs and DVDs out in the garage, you know, alphabetical order and everything.
I guess I'll sell my comic digitally, but I haven't really not my number one concern.
I need to find a good way to do that. All the books are available digitally. So I did that
Kindle and stuff. Yeah.
Or wherever. I don't know. It's through Lulu is where I put it through. And then they do whatever they do. So wherever they're at, I guess.
Gotcha.
I used to on my website, I used to have links to like every site with it. And I got rid of that, cause I was like, I'm not having 1,000 buttons under every picture, you know? So people are smart. They know how to find things.
If they want it, they'll find
it. They'll find it.
Exactly. All right. I've got some fun questions, but before that, do you have anything that you want to talk about that we didn't bring up?
Yeah. I mean, basically I do this kind of thing just like celebrities do, where I go around on the shows to promote my next thing. Usually it's a Kickstarter. So October 1st, anybody that sees this on Kickstarter, Cocaine Stripper Stronghold 1 and 2 and the novel, the Kickstarter specifically is to fund getting issue 2 paid for. It's basically almost done. I just got to pay the artists. Check that out. It's a lot of fun. It's a zombie comedy thing. The comic book is a 4-parter. It's a prequel to the raunchy zombie comedy novel, where a horde of zombie businessmen and a biker gang attack a brothel because they like cocaine and strippers. The comic series, like I said, it's a prequel. It follows the main character as she goes from being a posh rich girl to a cold-hearted desert mistress. It's a lot of fun.
I love it.
Yeah.
Did you do a pre-launch, to advertise, or how did you are marketing other than this podcast for the October 1st launch?
Yeah, I've got the pre-launch page is up. It's been up for a couple of weeks, and we've got some people following it. Sweet. But yeah, that's why I do these podcasts and stuff, to get the word out as best I can. And
I'll put the links in the show notes and everything. That'd be cool.
And I can send you the link if you don't have it.
And this will come out, I think, the first week of October. So I think it's when we timed that perfectly to do that. So.
Yeah. And this one, I'm doing some different things, like where if you spend a certain amount of money, you get like a free COA and I'll sign the book for free. And if you spend another certain amount, you get like a magnet and a COA and so on and so on. And then I think every 25 backers, I'm going to give away a free variant cover of one of my other books, one of my Turkey Sharks books. So,
okay.
So free, I'm giving away free stuff. I mean, it's worth
it. Yeah, that'll be awesome. I will definitely check that out. And like I said, this, when this episode releases, go to it right now. It'll be live.
Right now. Stop. Pause.
Right now. Yep.
Wherever you're at, pause. I don't care if you're driving or
go back. Exactly.
A baby on your boobie and you're feeding them. Throw that kid on the floor and go back this thing.
Yeah. Go back the project and then come back and finish watching the fun ending. So no, that's perfect, man. All right. So I got some rapid fire questions. They're really not rapid, but whatever. So who was your first favorite superhero or creator and why?
A big Spider-Man. I know it's kind of generic, but it just is what it is.
It is what it is.
He's my number one. Favorite creators. That's such a weird question. Cause like when I was a kid, I didn't pay attention to that. I know a lot of people did, but I really didn't. But looking back, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. The Jim Lees of the world. And I'm trying to think if there's any. You know, I've met a lot of creators from doing these cons and stuff. I'm trying to think if there's anybody that ever got me like, I was nervous to meet them. I think I've gotten used to that over the years. So yeah, I don't think there's. I love Scotty Young's work, I guess.
Me too. Yeah. I do too. His stuff.
Yeah.
I don't. My daughter discovered Scotty Young first with I Hate Fairyland, and I since then have found a lot of his stuff and love his work.
My coffee but like table, you, the coffee
I didn't
table.
Know anybody.
Yeah. My coffee table is all, I'll see if I can show you. It's all, I've got stuff all over, but it's all Scotty Young stickers all
there
over.
There you go.
And then it's like laminated or whatever it is, epoxied over.
I'll have to, yeah. And he's doing a lot right now. He's doing a Fantastic Four covers. He did like an X-Men cover I found the other day. He's doing a Batman Deadpool one that comes out tomorrow or Wednesday. Excuse me. Stan. But like you, I never knew creators.
Yeah,
I'm
Stan.
Learning creators. Right. I knew Stan Lee. That was it. Jack Kirby. That was it. But I'm learning that now with like Scotty Young and some others. And
yeah, that was like when I first started doing Comic-Cons and stuff, some of the other vendors and other people would ask me that question. And I realized real quick, I was like, I don't have an answer. No. And that to me felt like I was a fraud. Kind of in a way.
Right.
And then, so I was like, I should probably get back into comics. I was into comics as a kid. And then when I started liking girls, that's all I liked. I didn't care about the Green Bay Packers or comics anymore. I cared about chasing girls. So now that So now that I'm old enough, now I'm back into comics and the Green Bay Packers.
There you go.
But yeah, I started collecting comics again, like seven-ish years ago. And now it's heroin. Like I'm a meth addict for comics.
Yeah. My daughter and I get a pile each week. So what's your favorite current series?
I'm reading the Power Rangers Turtles 3.
Okay.
So I try because I'm very busy. Like, we talked before we started how I have a day job. I have a kid. I run the publishing company and I also buy and sell collections. So I'm like, I literally work from 5:30 to probably about 6 every single day. Weekends, I work from about 6:30 to 1-ish every, you know, mm-hmm. Saturday, Sunday. So I don't have a lot of time to like read. So I try to do miniseries is what I try to do. I feel like that's pretty good. You know, I'll buy 5 or 7, you know, in the set or whatever it is, 4 or 5. And then I'll take a break till the next miniseries comes out that I'm interested in. So. But I love Turtles and Power Rangers, so that was a good one for me.
Do you remember the first comic you ever bought or read?
That's funny. I was just telling my kid yesterday. It's probably X-Men. Probably maybe around. It's probably one of the Jim Lee ones. It's probably 30. X-Men 30, somewhere around there. 24, 25, something like that. And it bums me out. It really bums me out that I cannot remember for the life of me the first comic book I ever got and read. But I have a couple of them, like up on a shelf here. I've got my Lethal Protector 1 from when I was a kid. It's graded at a 7.0 and double signed. So that was pretty cool. But my kid's first comic was the Free Comic Book Day of a reprint of The Tick number 1. So I know his first comic.
Yeah, my daughter's was a Harley Quinn, like 28 or something. So of the 2021 series. And Yeah, our birthdays are 2 days apart in December, 19th and 21st. So right. I always take those days off and we just run around, do stuff, travel. But we ended up in a comic shop and she picked up a heart. She's like, what is this? And it was actually a game store that had comics because I was more into the game store stuff. And she's like, what is this? I'm like, it's a comic book. She's like, why are there so many? I'm like, because they just always come out. She's like, can I get one? I was like, get as many as you want because anything to get her to read, you know.
Is that from the Stephanie Phillips run?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yep. That was towards the end of her run, but yeah.
See, now, I know now, guys.
You
know.
Right? I learned that too because I follow her on TikTok and we've been, it's seeing her stuff and all her new stuff coming out.
She seems pretty cool. I've never met her. I don't follow her, but I see her stuff. But yeah, she seems
right. I'm hoping to pick up more of her stuff. She's got like 3 or 4 things coming out next month. So,
I'm trying to remember who wrote Mr. and Mrs. X. Kelly Thompson. I like her too.
Okay, I don't know her yet. I'm learning slowly but surely.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. X was a good series. I think it was 5 or 6 issues. I think.
So the first one I bought lately or currently was the God of Thunder Thor series. Those were the ones I read. That was like 2012. And then when I got back into it, I bought the Deadpool Wolverine. Now I bought like 100. I don't know, it seems like 100 a month. It may not be quite that many. And then when I was a kid, though, like you, it's hard for me to remember because I hated reading.
Yeah.
I remember, and I would get a comic book here and there, but it was like, it always used to make me mad because we didn't have like comic shops around. So I couldn't I could never find the next issue.
Gas stations, man. That's where I got most of my comics when I was a kid.
And they would never have I'd get 1 and 2 and they would never have 3 and I'd see sporadic. 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be a comic so annoying. For 4 months probably. And
yep. Exactly. All right, so what if you could live in any comic book universe, where would you live? Which one?
Cocaine Strip Stronghold.
I haven't read it yet, but yeah. I'm leaning there myself. Except they have zombies, right?
Yeah. I don't know that I'd want to live in that one, actually. It would be kind of cool. I do like that kind of post-apocalyptic world has ended and there's not many people. There's something charming about that to me. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Boy, I love the turtles, man. That would be cool, I guess.
Turtles are awesome.
Turtles. That's like my favorite. As much as I love Spider-Man's my favorite superhero, I guess. And I guess the turtles are superheroes too, but, I don't consider that quite the exact same thing. But like I have a whole wall of turtle shit in the room over there.
I never knew, I was a huge Turtles fan as a kid, and just seeing them still alive is awesome, and continuing on. All right, so if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Yeah, that's a hard one to answer, too. My kid asked me that one all the time. Flight is, the easy answer, because that would be pretty damn sweet. Teleporting would be sweet. The healing factor would be pretty good too, I think, especially now that I'm 43 years old. That would be nice to wake up and not have that pain and shit.
Right. We're the same age. So yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
That might be my answer from now on, the healing factor.
The healing factor. Yeah. My knee's killing me, but no, we're good. We're getting old. All right. Healing. I like that. We're going to go with healing. I'm going to stick with that. So, which comic book character could be any, it could be a main character or sidekick, but any character to be your sidekick, who would you choose?
That's an interesting one. Be my sidekick. Well, I've got Kid Friendly to plug my own characters.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's go Wally West. How about that?
Okay.
Flash is my favorite DC character, so I'd have to go with
Wally West. There you go. And he can get you out of trouble and stuff, and heal. You're gonna be healing anyway, so it's fine. All right, so the last one, if your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
I was about to say one of my other titles. I'm not gonna say that one. That would get me into trouble.
Cocaine Stripper.
Yeah, there's a different one that the title is more intriguing than that one.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Shoot. What was the question? What the title of my comic?
Well, yeah. Well, if your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Oh, gotcha. Life? Shit. Mr. Bounce Back. How about that?
Love it. Love that.
I've had a lot of, you know, I don't want to get into all that, but I've had a lot of adversity in the last 10 years specifically. And I'm still here. I'm still kicking. And it's even with the comic company, it's had its trajectories and then something drastic will happen. You know, COVID was one of the examples. There's been three big main points where I was going and then got hit with something. COVID was the second of the three, big setback. And every time I've gotten back on track. So yeah. How about Mr. Bounce Back?
I love that. I literally had this conversation this morning with a guy, with the guy that actually is doing my artwork now. But, you know, he asked me to commit to going to a convention near him in Connecticut. So I was like, sure, I'll go.
Okay.
It was, you know, a year away. And
who's the guy? Are you allowed to say?
It's Mike Algier. Algier.
Okay.
Is his name. He does his Dork Art Comics.
Okay.
I interviewed him about four or five episodes ago.
I probably saw it, but didn't click who it was.
Yeah. He just, I don't know. We kind of hit it off and, you know, we just kind of became friendly and just chatted and, you know, stuff. And he, one day just sent me, you know, like Panel Pete is my little mascot. Right. And that's the main character of the comic and everything. And he just sent me like a drawing. He did a drawing of it, you know, and sent me like some little video from like start just sketching all the way to finish, like colored and everything. I'm like, well, that was really cool. And I asked him, I was like, well, hey, when I get the script done, would you do an alternate cover? That's all I asked him for. He's like, I'd pay you to draw an alternate cover. And so he just drew one and sent it to me. And I was like, geez, this is cool. I was like, why don't you just like, and I hadn't found an artist yet for like the actual book. I was like, you want to just do the whole book? He was like, sure. So I'm going to pay him to do the whole book. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Nice.
But it was funny. We were having this conversation this morning about going to the convention and stuff. And he's like, well, do you know how to do a booth? And I was like, well, funny enough, I used to own a hobby shop. So I turned my publishing company into a game store, like a board game, card game store. And I still did the publishing thing on the side too. But it turned into that. And I ran that for about 8 years. And then I sold the store, but I still did accessories for miniature games. I made like mouse pad material stuff, like terrain, dice trays, table mats, all this, you know, cool stuff for miniature game accessories. So I turned that into a business. And instead of buying from the distributors, I was selling to the distributors and the stores and everything. And I was traveling around to do conventions and sell all this stuff. And in 2020, I was like, I committed to one a month across the country. And I was literally in the car I was in the car for an hour when I got the email driving to Chicago for a big 3-day, the biggest convention I ever was going to table at or have a booth at in my life. When I got the email saying they just closed down for COVID.
C2E2?
No, it was Adepticon or
okay.
It was COVID, a gaming convention.
What were you talking about?
COVID. Yeah, COVID shut it down.
Gaming convention. Okay. Yeah, because I it was Wizard World at the time in Cleveland that week.
Okay.
And it was like that weekend and then like Monday, everything was done.
Yep. I was driving to Chicago and got the email like, yeah, we're not having it. And I'm like, you know, this is a 50,000 person, you know, downtown Chicago convention. It might have been more than that, but. Yeah, so literally COVID shut me down, and I just kind of it derailed me, like mentally, physically. It just like I couldn't. It was emotionally horrible, like going through all that. And I still do a little bit with it, but I've been not doing anything for the last couple of years, and started this podcast with my daughter, and I'm loving it because it's filling that itch because I've been thinking about it for about a year and a half or so about doing something back into the space, my own thing again.
Can't sit.
And luckily, I can't. Like you touched on it earlier, you know, but you have to be creative, right? And this podcast is fueling that. And, you know, with the podcast and meeting all these awesome people and then creating my own comic book and being able to go to these shows again and, you know, it's a little bit different, you know, not the gaming, it's more the comic side, but which is still a lot of fun. And the collecting side of it, you know, I'm really happy that, you know, we're getting back out there and doing these things. So I'm excited.
We are beyond excited to share the Chronicles of Panel Pete, a brand new comic coming in early 2026. Written by Talking Comics podcast host AJ Ryman and co-written and illustrated by Mike L. Jure, Torque Arts Comics. Panel P is a heartfelt comic about courage, imagination, and the hero within. Sure, he may stir up a little mischief, but at the end of the day, he's the hero we all need. Expect variant covers, exclusive merch, and much more. Follow the links in our bio, hit that Notify Me on launch on Kickstarter, and join us on this adventure.
But hopefully we'll, I don't remember how we got on that topic, but it was literally this morning I had that same kind of conversation. It was kind of funny. But we're going to get back and we're going to do some more conventions. Hopefully we'll come across, do the same ones and get to meet you in person.
I try to do one to two a month usually. So.
Okay. How far do you go? I saw you've been in Michigan. Where else do you go?
Yeah, it's I try to do one or two kind of far away a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember. So I did Indianapolis, which is like 3.5 hours away. I can't even remember which ones I've done. My brain is like in a fog today. I've been so busy the last few weeks. I've gone to Tennessee. I've been in Kentucky. I've been to Indiana. I've been in Michigan. I've been in Pennsylvania, obviously Ohio, where I'm from. I just kind of the area, but I just kind of spread out, thinking about trying to do the one that's in Kansas City, I think is a big one or something like that. I forget what it's called. We'll see. I try new ones every year and then I do some of the same ones. So,
okay. Yeah. So I'm slowly building up to that. I should start. We're probably going to start doing booths. I'm committed for May. I got a couple people trying to get me to do April and one in February. And then, so probably February, I'll start doing them and probably at least one a month somewhere around East Coast.
Well, they're fun.
Sorry. To Midwest.
They're fun. Yeah. And if you do it right, you can really make them work for you. Because like I said, I run my booth for my Cutthroat Comic stuff, but then I also bring a side table of comics and stuff to sell, like Marvel. I
saw that in your last video.
Yeah. And that has helped. But also, you know, when I buy collections, I'll take the books out and keep the ones I want, obviously. But if I have those books, then if somebody's going to be there, I'll go and get it signed and then get it graded. And then now I have a signed book in my collection, or I'm upgrading. Like there's many, many ways to be successful at a Comic-Con other than just selling your product.
Right. And the other thing is, at the moment, I really don't have a product other than the podcast, right? So I have to trigger my mind into being okay to, I don't need to make money at these things. We need to gain, you know, market the podcast, right? Marketing the podcast, meeting people to interview, you know, sell maybe some podcast merch, and I'll have the comic book too. So I'll sell some, but I don't think we're going to kill it, you know?
No. And to be honest,
I don't need to.
Yeah, you won't. And no offense, you won't.
Right.
When you've got one book, and I think a lot of people get discouraged because of that. They expect to go to a Comic-Con, they're like, I'm gonna sell 500 copies today. It's like, you're not gonna. But there's more, like, you're there, people are seeing your banners, people are taking your card, people are signing up for your newsletter, take pictures with I did a whole series on TikTok of how to be successful at a Comic-Con, and one of them was what to do when it's dead. You know, go network, meet other artists, meet other writers, ask them what cons they do, if that con's good. I mean, there's many ways to build success off of a failure, kind of. Not even that it would be a failure in general, but like I did one con up in Michigan when I first started. It was a two-dayer, so there was hotel, and I sold one comic book the whole weekend. One. That's it.
Wow.
Yep. That was awful, and that was my moment where I was like, all right, am I going to give up right here, or am I going to double down? And I doubled down. Comic-Cons are great for many different reasons, not just selling your stuff. Even though, yes, you want to get your table back and make some money, that's most important, but you have to find other ways.
And if I can market the podcast and that be successful, I think I can judge that, you know, success based on that versus monetarily at the convention itself. So that's my idea. But hey, man, it was great. I know you got to get going here in a minute, which is fine. I think this was awesome. I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, man. I'll put all the links in the description and all that stuff. It'll be on YouTube and everywhere podcasts are found. And love to have you back on. Next time you got a Kickstarter or something going, just let me know.
For sure.
We'll have you back.
For sure.
In a world of heroes, villains, and epic stories,
Braha, Onicon, and their ultimate sidekick, Panel Pete, take you on adventures each week.
Showing off their comic book hauls,
fun trivia and games, honest reviews,
and inspiring conversations with the creators and consumers who make it all possible.
Join in on the conversation.
This is Talking Comics.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.